Well, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to the Raymond Hall Show. I am your host, Raymond Hall, and it is absolutely a wonderful blessing to be here with you again another week. It seemed like the weeks go so fast, but I look at that as a good thing. That means we seem to see each other a lot more frequently. I was in studio guest today. I'm joined by a dear friend and also director of the conference local lay for the Southern California for the AME Church. We have with us some call-in, if possible, Dr. Bales Weber, who's the president of the Southern California lay, will be calling in, as well as some other guests. Our show today, our service is, you know, service is our banner, and we're always going to be talking about service. And some people try to get around the church. We're not going to be like some organizations. There's no separation here between service and service. Some people will serve in the military, and some people will choose not to be a part of the active military. Some people serve in school systems, teaching, and some people serve in other ways. Well, here we are a part of the faith family. And their faithful service is a service that has been with us from the very beginning.
Yes.
And no matter what you say, everybody's family is rooted somewhere in a faith community. If you didn't believe in a faith community somewhere, you just sit right where you are, lay right where you are, and wait for your dying day. When you get up and take a step somewhere, it's because you have faith in something in your life. So our show today is on faith. There's a special event coming up on the 27th. It's going to be a very big event. We're going to talk to the director of the lay activities about that most of the day. But we're going to come across a couple of things first before we get into that. I want to welcome you and
thank you for
taking the time to come to be with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yes. Our show today is brought to you by Clear Path, and Clear Path does a lot of things in the community. They are going to have a cardio dance exercise. This is where they bring together dancing and cardio exercise, and it's going to be right here in the community. You can dial it's going to be from 9 a.m., from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. at 888. The telephone number is 888, 978-8404. Excuse me, once again, 888-978-8804. And also, they are going to have a CPR event where they're going to teach you CPR and first aid. Mm. So that's going to be here in the community again. So call the people down there at Clear Path. Tell Dr. Barnell Payne that you heard it on the Raymond Hall Show and you want to get involved in that dance, cardio dance exercise, and you want to take that free first CPR. In our Veterans Corner today, we want to get just touch on some things. In our Veterans Corner today, I went to a class, and the instructor looked familiar, so we got to talking and found out that he was familiar. We came together through a man named Mr. Donnie McGuire. Hmm. And Donnie McGuire was a veteran. He and I got together because he was one of these people that was he would help a veteran no matter where he was. It didn't bother him. Hmm. What state he found him. So he was a he worked on the docks. I don't want to say longshoreman and misspeak. But I know he worked on the docks. At one time, he was a professional ball player. He was also a veteran. And he used to pick veterans up that would not go back into the VA. At the time, the VA just wasn't as friendly mm-hmm. as they was. And he ran across a vet that just would not go, and the VA was okay with it because every time they tried to help him, whatever they gave him, he'd sell it for drugs. Mm. So Donnie came to me, and we finally talked the man in. I found out that Mr. McGuire passed in 2014. So in our Veterans Voices segment today, we want to recognize Mr. Donnie McGuire. His company was called Vets on the Move. And he did everything he could to help a veteran that if he saw that he could help, he would stop what he was doing to help someone else. So to me, your legacy is what people may think of your service after you leave here. And his service is one where we have to remember that he helped a lot of people that was absolutely at their wit's end. And so a big salute to Mr. Donnie McGuire and all of the people that had a chance to meet him and all of the people that benefited by his presence. So with that said, we're going to get into our feature segment. And we are going to talk with Jackie Dupont Walker, and we're going to let her introduce Delay to us and just tell us something about this event that's getting ready to take place.
Thank you. Now tell me where I should be looking.
Anywhere you want to look.
Okay.
The camera will
at
take
the
care
camera.
Of it. Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay. I am so pleased to be here today and just honored to be a part of the Raymond Hall Show. You walk the talk. And mm-hmm. so you not only talk about service, but you give service.
Mm, thank you.
The Southern California Conference Lay Organization is a part of the African Methodist Episcopal Church Network in Southern California. Mm-hmm. There are some 55 churches from Bakersfield to the Northern Mexican border.
Wow.
From the Pacific Ocean to the border of California at Arizona and Nevada. Mm-hmm. And then we dip in and pick up the Las Vegas area.
Okay.
Those churches come together once a year at something we call the annual conference.
Okay.
And that's where we report on our labors.
Mm-hmm. Now we're the largest. Are we the? Is this
we are not.
The fifth is not the largest.
We are significant, but most of our strength is in the South and the East Coast.
We do well. We've been
in
walking
Southern California.
Around saying some things that wasn't true. Okay.
But Southern California Conference is the largest conference in the 5th Episcopal District.
Okay.
And so we are the largest there. That makes you right?
Okay. But I learned something.
Okay. So we are coming together the last week in October for that annual conference where we report on our labors. And actually, we bind up our wounds and get ready to go back out.
Okay.
Because our churches provide service and ministry throughout Southern California. On Friday evening is the opportunity for laity, those people who are not ordained clergy, to come together and focus on what we believe is impactful ministry, what needs to happen.
Okay.
And this year, our Bishop Clement Few has asked all laity on their Friday evening service and opportunity for gathering to focus on education.
Okay.
And we thought about, you know, what needs to happen with regard to public education in Southern California.
Okay.
One thing is we live at a time when people are forgetting that public education is a doorway to opportunity and success. While some people are fortunate enough to be able to pay for education, majority of the people need to use public education. And so we must make sure there's excellence in public education. And that's not necessarily what's happening now.
No. Actually, it's an assault.
Yes.
On the public school system.
Okay. And so the lay organization of Southern California is going to focus on what people of faith can do in public education. We know that a number of people have been employed and are currently employed in the various public education roles.
Correct.
So one of the things we want to do is to recognize the labors they already have done.
Okay.
And so we're asking every congregation to identify lay and clergy who are involved in public education.
Okay.
And normally we think of the teacher and the principal. Sometimes we think of the school board member. We're saying include the person who works in the lunchroom.
Everybody.
Include the person who is making sure it's a clean campus.
Right.
Include the driver who is bringing them to and from school.
Correct.
Because each one of them has a role, just as Ephesians says to us, every part of the body has a role.
Role, correct.
And we want to recognize all of those who have a role and then say, what is it we need to happen? When you and I went to school, our parents didn't have to worry about whether we were coming home alive.
No, that's true.
Now that's parents true. Have to worry about whether their kids will live through a day in school.
That's
trauma.
Yes.
And so we're talking about having trauma-informed schools. And trauma-informed schools can be de-traumatized in many ways when we are involved, when we bring the sense of calm, when we bring the extra arms, legs, and eyes to hug the young person who lives in a traumatic situation, to recognize the needs of the foster child who has nobody to really take the time and give them special attention sometimes.
Right.
For those who live in neighborhoods where they have to fear for their own safety, going to and from it, even at night.
Now, is this to address the trauma? Are we talking individual effort? Everybody should individually look at the fact that our kids are being traumatized?
We think everybody's already looking.
Okay.
The question is, what do we do about what we're seeing?
Okay.
And
so
we're suggesting
that organized event?
Churches have a role. Churches can adopt schools. Churches can house schools.
That's a good idea.
We're saying that individual educators have a role. They can find ways to invite people in to volunteer individually.
Okay.
We're saying that many of us can find organizations who want to do something, it ties into their mission and get them involved. So we're saying that, and sometimes we see them in our own church schools and Sunday schools.
That's true.
We see the child who is acting out, the one who appears to be defying authority for no reason, the one who appears to be angry, or the one who appears to be staring blankly in space and no emotion.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. But what happens when a child is traumatized, and we're going up to 18, they feel abandoned. They feel unappreciated and unloved. They feel as if survival is more important than learning. And so when they're in a situation, they're still surviving. They can't just throw that off.
Right.
And
right.
so with a trauma-informed environment, we recognize those signs and we can try to change the outcome, which is not good. We know that the child living in a traumatized environment is 23 times more likely to have difficulty in school.
Right.
23 times more likely
now,
to have difficulty.
Now, does that suggest that they would not complete their schooling or leave early?
Not complete, be sent to special education, be defined with learning disorders, be suspended and expelled, be sent to juvie because of activities about being wrongly treated in school, picked on. Kids will bully and tease. I mean, teasing was painful when we were there, but the level of bullying that young people experience today is very harsh.
Yeah. Yeah. Bullying. When I was in school, the worst you could get would be in a fist fight.
Right.
And that didn't last long because somebody was going to break it up. And the biggest, it wasn't even a fight, but the biggest issue after that fight was when you got home and mama heard about it.
Then, and along the way, everybody else would hurt.
Yeah. You're going to get dusted along.
Yes,
yeah. When mama got.
Yeah.
So now, is it something that you take to community organizations or you just adopt a church? Can you go to, like here in Los Angeles, we have the neighborhood councils. Can you go to the councils and talk about this?
Well,
because I've never heard anyone talk about it the way you've explained it to me.
The role of the church is to provide ministering service and involve and envelop anybody who will do it.
Okay.
And the church is us.
Okay.
And
right.
so we come from all those places you're talking about. So hopefully as we talk about it and as we try to develop an action plan, people who are part of the congregations will say, hey, this can add to that success because it's going to save lives. And
correct.
This really is is a rescue operation
yes.
for our public schools and everybody who's involved in it. Some of the teachers may be even traumatized by having to go into an environment where there's a check for guns.
Right.
And let's say somebody has already come in the school and assaulted a teacher.
Right, right.
That's a trauma. So we want the kinds of environments that can happen that will make a difference. That includes our volunteering, showing up, providing support, providing just a light atmosphere.
Okay.
It may be the only place that some kids who live in traumatic situations have where they can exhale and just wait. So, yes, it includes bringing all of those in, but hopefully the church remains one of those trusted voices where if something is happening, people raise their hand and say, I want to be in.
Right.
And so we're bringing, because it's something I'm learning, but God has put it on my mind and in my heart. and focusing on this. This is something we can't wait for. It is urgent. It is our watch.
Right.
And we have to make a difference. So Dr. Nicole Baker-Fulgham with the Expectations Project nationally has taken on the role and the duty of waking up the people of faith.
Okay.
There's something you can do.
Well, we're
you
we're
can
looking,
make a difference.
Yes,
and so
we're looking
we're
forward
bringing
to hearing
her,
from her.
To talk about that. She actually was educated here at UCLA.
Okay.
So she knows LA Unified School District and the surrounding districts.
Right.
She knows what we're experiencing. And one of the things she talks about is your zip code should not define your destiny.
Yeah. I think that's another one of our segments.
Right, and so that's extremely important. So the Expectations Project is encouraging people of faith and the faith denominations and groups to wake up and do something.
Yeah. When we first talked about this, so many things came to mind, because when you look at the schools and you look at children having to go through, I call it an indoctrination with all of the bars everywhere. You know, it's you got them going through bars, so they're used to passing through bars like it's jail cells and the all of the things.
Conditioning.
And so the worth of life, the value of life seems to be demeaned.
You're right.
Because of they are attacking our children in so many ways. So If you can have an outrage about whether someone stands or kneels for a flag, there should be a tsunami of spiritual discourse when it comes to one young life lost.
Exactly.
And we're losing them through drugs. We're losing them through a lack of education, because everything you and I understand when Paul said he's a slave, he's enslaved. Now he's on this journey and he said, y'all can't do nothing to me. I'm a free man. Okay. But then he calls himself a slave. And what that tells me is that we can be enslaved even today. People don't want to hear that, but we can be enslaved today with anything that enslaves us.
That we allow.
Allow to enslave.
To make our master.
So if we have poor schools, the fruit of poor schools is going to, let me try and find a better word than enslave us, but it is going to
makes the point.
Entangle us.
It makes
yes.
the point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're losing children that way. We're losing children through the violence, both the children to children, young people to young people, the police to young people, the whole thing. We're losing children to poor health and those kind of things. So when we were talking earlier and you were saying your zip code should not dictate your destiny, it just opened up the door for me to see that this is not a single lane issue.
That's right. That's right.
This is something that everybody with the talents that you have, you're going to have to use that talent. No one should be afraid of service, because only because of service are any of us here. People did not deny that they were going to go through something in their lives. People have just come to understand it's how you go through it.
Yes.
The posture with
yes.
which you go through something.
Yes.
And if I look at a mountain, that mountain is big to me. But if I look at the mountain and remember that someone says there's nothing that's too big for you with me, I'm comforted.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm comforted.
And you know, we're not just talking about it. It's important to know what can be done.
Okay.
And so we have responders and those who will help to motivate us to work here in our community and neighborhood, Southern California. And so Dr. George McKenna,
right.
who many know from having turned around Washington High School
right.
From a failing institution to and Academy of Excellence, mm-hmm. Now serves on LA Unified School District Board.
Right.
And he'll be there to talk about what we can do to make a difference. Mm-hmm. In
now,
LA
you
USD.
Mentioned responder. How do you become a responder? What does
We've
that...
identified three people who we think bring information about opportunities
okay.
for churches and individuals.
Okay.
So you can immediately, in the moment you're feeling, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. Here's some options, some opportunities,
mm-hmm.
and know that you have access to get that done.
Okay.
And so he is one responder. We also have Mr. Alex Johnson, chair of the school board for L.A. County Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as much as I thought I knew about education,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that the largest group of students at L.A. County Board of Education are those who are in juvie and other group situations. So that is a group that really needs us. They've already put themselves in harm's way, either deliberately or accidentally,
mm-hmm.
and are going down that path to prison.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say they're the largest group?
In L.A. County schools, because they provide education for those who have been detained.
Wow.
So whether they're in the group homes or juvie hall, all of those are people they provide education for. So how wonderful would it be to not wait until they're in the federal prison mm-hmm. or the state prison,
mm-hmm.
but to really be able to show God's love at this point, to help
right.
turn them around, to help them know somebody cares that mm-hmm. I breathe every day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody cares that I can learn this. And the brilliance that I'm using to do this unacceptable stuff,
mm-hmm.
I can turn toward a path in my career and my life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming to talk about what we can do with L.A. County schools. And then the pipeline for many who can't afford to have these big loans to go to school is a community college district.
Right.
And so we have the chair of the board of community college district, Ms. Sydney Kamlager, who's going to be there to respond.
Okay.
What can we do? We now know that there's a possibility for a great number of people to have this first year free.
True.
How do we match that? Why are the community colleges struggling to get people enrolled when mm-hmm. that opportunity is there?
Is there, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, she'll be at the event.
Yes, those three will be there,
okay.
along with Dr. Nicole
okay.
Baker Fulgham, to talk about these trauma-informed schools and environment. How do we create those safe places and spaces? And everybody mm-hmm. has to do that. The person in the office, when a student walks in and they've been kicked out of their classroom and they've got to go to detention, that person has a role
mm-hmm.
in recognizing what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Especially our young people from foster care.
Yeah.
It's
something that just came on me. We need to give your contact number often. A lot of times we'll give that number at the end.
Okay, okay.
But I think with the content that you're sharing with us, that we need to give that number often. So,
well, please, please call me at 213-494-9493. Or as my husband Sonny says, 213-494-9493.
All right. Okay. And you can always find it. We are going to post that information on our page. And don't forget to follow us and
And like let me point out,
uh-huh.
it's interactive. It's not just talking heads talking at people.
Mm-hmm.
There is time for the people who are in attendance to share their observation, their ideas, so that we come out with fresh perspectives from everybody, because there are no experts.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who spend a lot of time working on this,
mm-hmm.
but everyone has something to contribute who has been involved in any way with public education,
right.
whether it's a student, something they remember, or young people in the system now,
mm-hmm.
or if they work in the system, or if they retired from the system.
Mm-hmm.
We want everyone to be in the room, because we want to have messengers to turn around public education
mm-hmm.
so that we have those trauma-informed environments
mm-hmm.
for our kids to go in and learn. Because all of us know kids who were in school with us who didn't have all the support that some of us had.
Right.
But the environment supported them. And you hear people saying, I went to school and some teacher believed in me.
In me and helped me, right.
Yeah, the janitor believed in me and took me home every night, you know, because they saw me sleeping on the bench. It didn't start. It's just in such large numbers now. And it's overwhelmed. And sometimes the way our system is set up, we don't allow the kind of bonding and relationships that save some young people in our day.
That's true. Well, in my childhood, the church was always a safe haven. I mean, for me, home.
And it still needs to be.
It was church. It was so many of us. We could get into it with each other. But you dare not try to do something to one of us, because then you had to deal with the whole house.
All right.
And it was seven of us. But also, the County of Los Angeles has a senior program.
Yes.
Where the seniors read to children.
Yes.
I think it's only in the library. So I don't want to take away from the county's efforts and events.
Oh, no, no,
but
no.
If some of those seniors, if you have a need or a feeling to support or adopt a church, then help some student. I was talking to my sister earlier today. She's in Memphis, Tennessee, and she retired as a teacher. And she told me that today most of the schools that were public schools have now been taken over and made private charter schools. And she said a very high number. She said something in the 40s. I'm going to pull back and be a little conservative. Not that I'm saying that my sister's not right. I'm just going for this broadcast. I'm going to be conservative.
Right.
Even if it's 30s, even if it's 20s, that's too high for people who can't read.
Well, there are public charters, and I'm hoping that's what's happening in Memphis. But there are public charters here, and that still is a part of the public school system. It's supported by our tax dollars, and we should be equally concerned about what's happening there. While there may be some features that people think make it better, like smaller class sizes or easier for parents to engage because they actually sign a covenant about how they will, we need to be equally as concerned about every environment that's a part of the public school system, where our kids are. And so, that system is relatively new, so it has not had an opportunity to be fully evaluated. Some would say the test scores are not, more outstanding necessarily. We know we have things like the community of schools where USC in our neighborhood here has invested in about 8 schools, and they work with young people over a period of years to prepare them for college.
Right.
Not everybody has that opportunity. So where that opportunity does not exist, we need to try to provide some
kind of
connection to excellence for young people, no matter what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to tell my age. There used to be a saying, reading is fundamental.
Yes, it is. Still is.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I thought about when she said that. I'm just, okay, we may not understand the sciences. We may not understand the math thing. But when you say we have 30 or 40 children, someone that's on the path to get on the path to make their way, and they can't even read.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Yes. And we know the what has now become a very well quoted phrase that by age 3, there's a calculation of number of prisons needed based upon the reading levels.
Yeah, I heard that, and I thought that was awful.
They said third grade is age 3.
3. Oh, age 3.
Yes.
Because at third grade, you, 8 years old?
Yes. So it's very important for us to do everything we can to provide the best pathway because most of our children are in public education environments.
Okay. All right. So let's go down to and let's talk about Voices Champions for kids desperately in need.
The champions are the people you talked about, those who will go and read. We have some residents of Rosa Parks Villas, one of the housing developments that the organization I head has. And we have people who go and read on a regular basis. That is okay. Something that our elders and many of our friends who've taken the golden handshake, because it helped them to leave when they were 50 or so years old from their jobs, 55. Mm-hmm. Those are places where they can go and be champions for young people. Okay. The others are serving on school boards and some of the committees. Okay. Because they have the wealth of time to be able to do it while other people are trying to earn a living.
Okay. And so that's now, can they call you and you help them with starting a group?
We're going to talk about that on Friday night.
Okay.
That
okay.
Friday night, October 27th, we're going to talk about, and that's why the three responders are there, to talk about what can be done in the here and now.
Okay.
Dr. Nicole is going to kind of set the stage and talk about the national and global picture and what's happening. And they're going to say, okay, you get it. This is what you can do here in Southern California.
Okay. Now, I want to share something with you that's very important. The AME Church is the oldest.
The oldest denomination,
The black denomination in the country. And everybody know my motto. I don't sell things. I don't ask people to do things. But could it be that when you cut out your support, that you cut away part of the future for someone else? See, as we grow, we learn more, and our values change about what is of value. And let's look at it another way. We're talking about education, and we're talking about children. So if your understanding or if your personal belief doesn't allow you to participate as others, think about a child maybe that's not here. Think about if your kids are grown, your kids' kids, what needs to be here for them.
Yes.
And one of the institutions that needs to be here for children yet to come is a strong institution of accessible and public and credible education.
Absolutely.
Okay. There was a situation when someone called me a name, and before my education experience, I was hot when they called me that name. I was ready to turn back the dial and be a Marine again. But after school, I recognized, you know what, you can call me whatever you want to call me, because I'm always make more money than you. I'm always have a better position than you, because you don't have any education. And I know you don't have any education because you standing here calling me a name, and you just don't know what that could do to you. So if I educated you, that would be a different thing. But now I'm just going to laugh at you because you don't have any education. So don't be so busy that you don't have time for your future. Now, we have a call, so we're going to take this call. We're going to put on our headphones and see who the caller is. Good afternoon. This is Raymond Hall, and you're on the line. This is with the Raymond Hall Show. Who's on the line?
Frank Stokes. How you doing, Raymond?
Hey, Mr. Stokes, how are you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Frank Stokes on the line. Earlier in our Veterans Voice Minute, we are here, Mr. Stokes, with Jackie DuPont Walker, and we're talking about education. Mr. Stokes is an instructor, and he teaches business and entrepreneurial business. I don't want to violate any norms, so I won't
spell
his names. But he was the one that informed me about Mr. Donnie McGuire. And when he told me about it, it just blew my mind because I tried to call him, couldn't get a hold to him, and he told me it passed. So, Mr. Stokes, if you want to take a moment or two, we are kind of mixing and matching some things. Share with our viewing audience a little bit of what you know about Mr. McGuire and Vets on the Move. And if you want to share a little bit about yourself, that's fine, too. I just don't want to break any norms.
No problem. No, I called because Donnie certainly had a heart for veterans. He was a veteran himself. And he and I served on a task force together regarding homeless. That's how I met Donnie. And he told me about the plight of veterans and something I wasn't quite aware of. And he asked me to help him with his foundation, Vets on the Move Foundation. And
correct.
That's how we began to work together. So what I learned is that he would help veterans who were homeless. He had places for them to stay.
Correct.
And he also would help them with application for benefits,
mm-hmm.
as well as transportation to and from medical appointments. And I saw success stories. I saw many men and women who Donnie had helped, and they were when he found them, they were on the street, but they ended up finding a job and their own place to stay. So he made an impact, and I really appreciated what he was doing, and that's why I worked with him.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you for taking the time to call in support of
Absolutely.
Mr. McGuire. Vets on the Move made a big difference in my life. We worked on several things together, and it just I can't say too much because he was clearly a demonstration of service.
But let me say this: there's no accident in my being here as you're having this topic, because one of the key initiatives of Mayor Garcetti is to eliminate homelessness, not work on it, not reduce it, but to eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
And a large number, percentage of the homeless persons are veterans.
Correct.
And so there's been a very strong initiative focusing on veterans that continues. I'm sure that Mr. McGuire is smiling from heaven now because of some of the funds
mm-hmm.
that have finally come into play.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually open up some of the boarded up motels
mm-hmm.
and make it home for many, and to actually build and
That's
to
right.
retrofit. And churches are being asked to take their vacant properties and properties they're renting out and put veterans there.
Right.
But the organization I had, Water Economic Development Corporation, was approached by a young man who was a single parent who talked about what it was like to be homeless with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, he put together a focus group, and we went. My surprise was that a majority of the single parent formerly homeless vets were men
mm-hmm.
with children,
right.
both genders.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of that, we put together a proposal to create a campus for formerly homeless single parent vets with their kids,
mm-hmm.
That they would come in and have a supportive environment and put it together. And they have to be under the radar screen
mm-hmm.
because if the system found out that there was an adult homeless with kids, they take the kids and put them in the system.
Right.
And so they have to couch surf and ask people to take their kids in. So Casa de Rosa,
mm-hmm.
We're prayerfully going to have up and running in about 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a campus in South L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Where the single parent can come with their kids and get their life together, have a safe environment, a trauma-free environment for their
mm-hmm.
kids. We'll
mm-hmm.
have a daycare on site.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully in 3 to 5 years, they're ready to turn their apartment over to the next formerly homeless vet.
Right.
And so as you're talking about this, I'm sure that I'm going to talk to Brother McGuire in heaven myself, but
right.
he's smiling because his voice being consistent over all of those years has obviously made the
That's
difference
right.
in that people are finally paying attention
yeah.
and resources
That's
are being
right.
put there.
Yeah, I will.
Right.
There was a lot of things that we did together, but there was one very monumental moment. There was a young man, I'm not going to call his name, but everybody knew him as Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Doc was chronic. Donnie stopped what he was doing to help Doc. Doc was in a wheelchair with the flag taped to the back of the wheelchair. And Doc was chronic.
Yeah.
I'll say that. the VA had him in a system that don't give him nothing, because whatever you give him, he's going to sell it for drugs. And Mr. McGuire didn't let that deter him. Wow. He talked to me, and there was a man at the VA named Mr. Soto. He's passed on now. But we talked to Mr. Soto, and Mr. Soto talked to the very best nurses in that ER, because, you know, he was so, his hygiene was a big issue.
Yes.
And those nurses cornered off part of that ER and took care of him, processed him. And Doc wound up staying for the mental health treatment.
Praise God.
And it's a lady, a nurse came around and told me, Mr. Hall, I got somebody I want you to meet. And she said, his name is Doc. And I told Doc, I asked her, I said, is he so-and-so? So she said, yeah. So I already know Doc. You need to ask Doc about me. And so Doc, he talked about for years how he would be dead if it had not been for Donnie McGuire and the work that he yes. got him on. So here we are. Three people several years later recognizing him for the work that he did and letting it be a forerunner for some of the things, because people are finally listening. Well, Mr. Stokes,
well, what I know about Donnie is he made that his life. He traveled to Washington to advocate for homeless veterans.
That's true, he did.
And also for the many that had been turned down for medical benefits, which all of these things Donnie was advocating for finally have come to the surface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was that voice crying out, and I appreciate him being there.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you for taking the time to call in, and I'm sure I will be seeing you next week. And
okay. Look forward to it.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sure, bye-bye.
Okay. That was Mr. Frank Stokes on the line with us. That was from our Veterans Voice. So we're coming up on the last 10 minutes or so of the program, and so we are going to have some few last minutes. We want to get quickly.
We want to be sure to give the location for the...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. We're going to come up to the... we want to do takeaway moments. And this was important. Something everybody can do, what will you do?
Well, we hope that you will come and be a part of the think tank.
Okay.
On Friday evening, October 27th.
Okay.
The Hilton at LAX in the main ballroom.
Okay.
At 7 p.m. Friday, October 27th. There is good public transportation to get there,
mm-hmm.
Via bus and even the Green Line that will connect to come there.
Mm-hmm.
From the airport area, so at 5711 West Century Boulevard.
Okay.
In Los Angeles. Okay. Very, very important.
Now, is there an event fee, admission fee, or anything?
There is no admission. Okay. We want people to be a part of the town hall discussion.
Okay. Now, remember, this is about education, and this is about the future. We've got people giving service. Everybody is giving service with an understanding of what their contribution means and how much it helps the situation. So write that down. Put it on your calendar. Put it in your phone. Do whatever you need to do. But just go and listen, and maybe something will open up a door of thought or consciousness to you, and you'll see how to get involved. God is calling, and the only answer is yes.
Absolutely. That's it. And so we ask you to be prayerful as you come.
Okay.
Because we just believe that there's just an army of people that God is calling to this work.
Okay.
There's no accident that we are doing it at this time, and we're not just rescuing children of the African diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
We're rescuing children in the system.
Okay.
Even as we talked about the veterans and the veterans' children, if you are with a parent who's homeless, you're traumatized.
Right.
When you go to school and they give examples of daily living, you have a different set of examples.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer you give is right for your situation. It may mm-hmm. not be quote unquote right by the standard test score.
Right, right.
And so, yes, the answer, only answer is yes.
Okay. Let me add just a little bit to that. know why people mad at all of us? It's because no matter what obstacle throughout the eons of time that has been thrown at us, put in our way, we have still overcome.
Yes.
Before the song was a song, We Shall Overcome, it was a communique of the spirit. So what your thought is, the answer is, will my effort make a difference, is yes. Whatever it is, it's yes. You may not see the yes, but the answer is yes, and he who created us know when and where your effort will bear fruit. That's that whole thing about faith. Now, this is the Raymond Hall Show. I got the Word of God for today coming up, so I'm not trying to give you a sermon, but the word is always good.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying that don't think that the people who oppose you don't recognize what you're doing. If they could have wound up and bound our ancestors, we would not be at liberty to serve today. But they could not dampen the spirit of service. They could not break the vessel to which the spirit was in. You beat them, starved them, you sold off the children, and yet the spirit says, I will give service.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So come down to the event. Let your spirit lead you. Have some consciousness, because they're going to get mad again because you're going to give service. Okay? You know I can go there, but ask yourself a question. Why you think they're sending all of those satellites to another planet? Because they can't get you and break your spirit here on Earth. So now they want to know, can we just get away? That's their problem. Our concern is our children, and they require our service. Okay? And contact information.
Contact information, please feel free to give me a call for more information and dialogue. But we're going to have that rich beginning on October 27th, and it's 213-494-9493.
Okay.
213-494-9493.
Okay. We're all going to remember that. And we certainly want to thank Mrs. Jackie DuPont Walker for coming into the studio. And
thank you so much for giving us this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Because
I'm not sure what happened to our call-in, but know that Dr. Dorothy Vales Weber, our president, wants us. She is a seasoned educator. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Aaron Jenkins from the Expectations Project is one of those national resources that we can help connect people to, people of faith who want to do something about creating trauma-informed environments.
Okay. Okay. Trauma. What does it look like on your block? Trauma. What does it look like on your porch? Trauma. What does it look like in your house? What does it look like when you allow it through lack of service? What remains of all of us is that part of us that was a benefit to others. If opening a door today is the best that you can do to give service to someone else, gladly open that door. If somebody needs a nickel, give them a dime. And when you give them the dime, you've given them enough to help someone else. They just needed a nickel. Think past that place of you, and you'll come to an understanding that At most, I'm like a brick in the wall. My brick is my life. The mortar that surrounds me is the people that gave service before me and the people who will give service after me. And that mortar that surrounds me, the brick, is what builds the wall of service. Somebody can pick me up and us up as a brick and throw us across the street as a brick. But you've never seen anybody pick up a wall and throw it. Think of it another way for faithers and believers and those who give the work. He who created everything before he created us, so that everything we would need would already be available to us. That means there's nothing that's outside of helping us.
That's it.
So I'm going to leave the last word with Jackie DuPont Walker. And give us your parting words, and last time, give us that contact number.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Raymond Hall. And we say to everyone who is watching and listening, you are being called into service. Ephesians 3:21 says that God will do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so if something is tugging at your heart, we need to see you on Friday evening, October 27th. When we kick off the movement, the Messengers for Public Education, whatever the pain you may have felt in it, whatever the challenge, whatever the idea that someone rejected, the idea you want to carry on that you didn't complete, this is the time for you to come together, because we can make a difference not only for the people who are currently in the system, but for future generations. We know this is our watch, and we don't want to fail our watch. If you have any questions, call me. 213-494-9493, Friday, October 27th, Hilton at LAX Airport, 5711 West Century Boulevard, 7 p.m.
Okay.
We look to see you there.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I just thought of something. I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't mention Dr. J. Arthur Rumpf.
Oh, yes.
The pastor of Grand AME, L.A.
Absolutely.
He would look at me a little strange on Sunday, but he's my friend. He's a community man.
Yes, he is.
He's a man of God, but he's a community man.
And you have the Kirkland Academy there.
That's correct.
Which takes kids who have been perhaps traumatized and who need to feel good about themselves and who can learn through STEM.
Yes.
And you've been doing that for several summers, and it is an outstanding program.
Yes.
So
they've been on the show.
I saw them. And so you have one of those answers.
Yes.
It's the kind of thing that other churches can do.
Yes.
It's a local effort that God is blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start to do that work that God calls you to do, the resources come. You don't know where it is when you start. Mm-hmm. All God asks us to do is to be faithful and available.
Mm-hmm. I met a young man that, I actually didn't meet him. He sent me a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a letter and he said, Brother Hall, we met somewhere. I'm not going to put that out there. But he said he wanted me to go and talk to his nieces and his grandson. And he wanted me to tell them the same story that I told him. And he said, tell them that I said, listen, because I don't want them following my footsteps.
Wow.
He wrote me from a prison. And he said he cared absolutely nothing about church before he got locked up. And what I just shared with him is that, I can't talk to you about church, but I can talk to you about the spirit man.
Yes.
And that spirit that talks to the spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, he didn't think I was crazy, but he just didn't understand what I was saying. And he said he remembered that. And he said that was one of the things that helps him today. And I mean, he had so much time. It was like, you could get a headache trying to figure it out. Yeah. And so he wanted me to go and talk to his
intercept the cycle. That's what we want to do.
Right.
Intercept that cycle.
Okay. Yes. So that's why, ladies and gentlemen, you see us with a lot of people here on the show. That's why you see Mrs. Jackie Dupont Walker here. She's talking about the service, and everything else will take care of itself. This is Raymond Hall at the Raymond Hall Show. We want to thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Have a good evening.